And then we're going to do this online. We said there's one more secret to making women happy, but we'll do it in 15 minutes, so we'll understand it in a more complex way, and that we can already do online. So the only request I have is that no one leave early. Anyone who wants to leave early should leave now, not in the middle of this class. Because if you leave in the middle of this class, you can walk away with huge misconceptions. So same for our listeners. You want to shut off this class, do it now or at the end, but not in the middle. Okay? Our story begins with the story of Rabbi Meir. We had a great sage named Rabbi Meir. He was one of Rabbi Akiva's disciples. And he was such a brilliant mind that it was his version of Mishnah that was used as the template for all of Shas Mishnayos. And Rabbi Meir had a genius wife named Bruria. We have instances where Bruria disagreed with the rabbis and she won. Bruria was a genius. So Rabbi Meir once taught the following concept, Nashim da'atan kala. Women can be convinced. Men are much tougher to be convinced, to have their minds changed. Women have greater insight than men. They have binayatira when it comes to the female insights, so they're stronger than men. But when it comes to decisiveness, so then men are stronger. Men have a greater decisiveness. Women's decisions can be changed. So Bruria said, no, we can't. Rav Meir said, yeah, you could. So she said, no, we are faithful to the Torah, we are faithful to the mitzvahs, we are faithful to our philosophies, we are faithful to our principles. We are principled. And Rav Meir said, yes, women are wonderful, but women's principles can change. And women can be convinced. And Bruria said, you're wrong. So Rav Meir said, no, it's true. And she said, no one could convince me to change my principles. So Rabbi Meir made a mistake. Rabbi Meir convinced a student of his to seduce his wife, Bruria. So the student would come knocking by when Rabbi Meir was ostensibly away. Really, Rabbi Meir and the student were in cahoots. And slowly he became more and more friendly with Bruria. Until one day, he made up with Rabbi Meir. He'd tell Bruria, listen, us two, we're just fit to be together. Tomorrow when Rabbi Meir leaves the house, I'm going to come and we're going to go all out together. We're going to commit adultery. Obviously, he didn't word it that way. So Bruria says, you're on. And the next day, the student walks in and she walks with him into the bedroom. And then Rabbi Meir walks out of a closet. And this was made up with the student. And he says, you see? And Bruria, what? Right, the student makes an about face, he walks out. And Bruria is so upset, she runs up a building, throws herself off the building and commits suicide. And Rabbi Meir is so embarrassed that he proved his point that he runs out of town, he backs out of town. Rabbi Meir was so embarrassed that he went too far to prove his point to his wife, and she committed suicide. So Rabbi Meir packs out of town. Rabbi Meir, that's the last time Rabbi Meir was in that city. He was never again seen in that city. So that story seems very extreme. It is. But that story gives us a certain insight to the strength of women. Why is it that when we have arguments or when children say, I don't want to go to school. My stomach hurts me. Or some mothers are more often willing to say, okay, Babala, you could stay home. And the father says, no, this is all a game. You have a test today. You're going to go and deal with it. You can't just stay home. Or very often you have issues where the women say, ah, come on, what's the big deal? No, I will not go to that wedding. Ever since, I'm not going. Or... And the wife says, is it really such a big deal? So when it comes to issues of principle, some men are much tougher and women are much more flexible. Sometimes that's a weakness. Sometimes that's a strength. Within the marriage relationship, if you understand that, that's a strength. Because that means that even though she's very, very upset right now, it's not like when a man's upset. When a man's upset, you better explain to him why he shouldn't be upset. And nothing else is going to work. And when a woman's upset, if you can change the topic, if you can start talking to her about other things, about what happened today, about a very interesting story, if you can take her mind off of what's upsetting her, so then you can make her very happy. It's not the male way to work, because we are very focused on our principles. So if something's bothering me, and she would try to do that with me, then I would smile and say, nice try, buddy, but I didn't forget what happened here, right? We didn't resolve that issue that's between us. Or like I heard one man tell his wife, I'd love to laugh at your joke, but I can't hear it over the elephant in the room. You know, that's the male attitude, but that's not the female attitude. Meaning females are much more flexible. This very story of Rabbi Meir and his wife tells us a lot. It's a, really, we could have a whole year's classes on this story, on the lessons the story teaches us, including what Rabbi Meir's mistake was, if we're allowed to discuss that. Because look at how principled the man is. I'll show you. Look at how far Rabbi Meir took it. I shouldn't really talk that way about Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir was such a giant that it says that even those who merited to see the back of his head became bigger geniuses from it. Even if you didn't see his face in teaching Torah, just the back of his head, you learned. And those who sat in front of him were even greater than that. So I'm talking about someone who I have no right to talk about. But the concept is nonetheless an important concept. There are things that the Talmud presents. We have a rule that very often things have a much deeper meaning, and yet you could glean wisdom from the simple meaning as well. So the Talmud gave us a certain story, and it has messages. It has messages that we're supposed to glean from it as well. So one of the messages is that if we want to diffuse a situation, and if we find that we've come home and our spouse is upset, and we recognize that our job is to bring happiness and light and optimism to the home, so then one of the tools we can use is this concept of Nashim Datam Kala. It's a strength. Women are easier to make happy in many ways once you learn the tools. Men think they have to work with the male tools. If she's upset at me over A, B, or C, so then how am I going to placate her? Wait, who said you have to deal with it head on? Maybe you can find a way to veer the conversation to a totally different topic, and she's accepting of that. Even though men are not accepting of that, women are totally different. And in this area, because Da'atan Kala, that's a strength. That means they're much more easily appeased. You just have to learn the tools. It's not the tools you would use when dealing with a man. What would you do with a man? You would say, why are you upset? And the guy would tell you. And then you'd say, okay, I want to work it out. And the guy would say, well, then don't do this again. And you'll say, look, I'm going to try. I realize I was wrong and I apologize. And as men, we can work it out. That's not going to work with a woman. You're going to say, why are you upset? And she'll say, oh, nothing. And you'll say, but why are you upset? And she'll say, I am not upset. And you'll say, but you are. And she'll say, why do you think so? And you're going to stand there and say, you sort of sound upset. And she says, then you're wrong. Ah, you're trying to use male tools on a woman? It won't work. But try using a different approach. Try using a different approach. Not avoiding the issue, but bringing up other happier issues. Finding ways to glean light on life right now. Sharing important things with her. And then slowly you'll find your way back to here. But you'll find your way back to the issue at hand from a happier perspective. And with that, you can actually resolve the issue. So it's a totally different approach than you would take with a man, because what you're trying to do is focus on the good. It's like when they came to write the Constitution. So there were many differences, but they did something very smart. They said, let's first write down everything we all agree upon. So when you could find all the things you agree upon, you're finding the common ground. From there, you see there's so much we agree upon, then you could work on what you disagree on. So the same is true, this is what you're really doing in marriage. You're bringing in points of light that you agree on. You're bringing in points of happiness you agree on. You're finding ways to focus on the good. And from that, you're going to work back and re-deal with the issues at hand.